Look out at me because I am black, because the sun has risen upon me. My mother's children were angry with me, they made me the keeper of the vineyard. But my own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Chapter 2. Verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sun. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruits were sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me with love. Say me with dragon, comfort me with apple, for I am sick for love. Not sick of love. Sick for love. Chapter 5. And just the last verse, because I'm quite sure you've read this description many a time. His mouth is more sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. So I want to say, if relationships are right between you and your Lord, then you can expect every other relationship to be right because it's under his control. But so very, very often we find ourselves in quandaries and difficulties because we are out of fellowship with the Lord the Father, and we try to take control over our own living and our own quandaries, and we make a hopeless and a complete mess of it. So very, very often. And I wanted to come back to the beginning of this, the 1005 years, but here is the only time that has been left with in a fullness of life. It's too much to be with in a night, and I've known such. But my youngest student, if you want some heaven measure, then let me give them to you just now, as I see it and as I've enjoyed the study. The first two chapters are the recognition of life. The next two chapters are the restlessness of life. The third two chapters are the repulsive of life. And the last two chapters are the reward of life. So here it is, a pound of life. It's not a girl. It's a pound of life. It's a miracle of life. And the heart that is loving and being life, there must be a pound. No matter what the circumstances may be outside. Now we did cut a verse last evening, this body that life surpasses knowledge. There's an illustration of it. For here is a wise man, the most intelligent man under the sun, taking up the theme, the pound of life. And in the first chapter of the Beast of the Father, we already admitted that the subject is too very possible. There are three things too wonderful for me, yet four which are past my delight. Now, so often he says to be cautious, but sometimes he says to be clean, yet four. When he says to be four, you find a common denominator that leads to four together. But when he says that it is your fault, then he intends that the first three throw light on the fourth one. And the first three are these, that the world is easier in the air, the world is certain up in the soul, the world is fixed in the sea, and the fourth is the world of man with a man. And these are two wonderful heavens and past found the rest. In fact, time is very big. I recognize Satan as a man that is in life. But the beast and the hidden cause, the time that man is made, these are all together too wonderful for me, and they can't be kept upon the living in death, and just call the people and say the intelligence
understand the word of love because it never is. He says, I've seen a young man, blessing his dreams like the eagle, drawing his glory in his power, as he flies in the face of the sun to attack the nail. I've seen a man do that. I've seen a man use his faculty and his guile, embracing the cold and the heartless thing, as though he would provoke some reciprocal affection. I've seen him like that. I've seen him like a ship on the sea, on the crest of hope, and down in the top of despair. I've seen the reaction. I've seen the evidences of a man in love. But the ways of a man with a man, they're past finding. And this is the man that is putting his pen to this lovely song, the song of love. I take it very emphatically. Though there are a number of applications through this book, and I'm not going to go into any of those. The heart that is in love with her Lord will always reckon in my beloved for the Lord Jesus himself. And will reckon in the one described as my love, themselves. And here is a relationship of affection between the child of God and is her Lord now back in glory upon the throne of God. And we find the faithfulness of the one, though we find the fickleness of the other. We find the one that never fails, but we find the other that does time and time again fail, but is still there, wounds and wounds his own to himself, until the heart responds, he's lovely in every part. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Now let's go to the beginning of this, because he talks about the beginning of his life. He's laying the voices for hope and so on, and he's just exulting in all that the thunderous Lord is to her friend. And he realizes, then nobody understands what he's talking about. So she's got to go back to the beginning. Look not at me, because I am black. And I tell you why I am black, the sun has looked upon me. Now here is her condition in her head. She's black by nature. She's not responsible for it. Her parents were black before, as their parents were black before them. And here she set out under the burning light of the sun. And it brings to the surface all that the nature really is. The sun of Lucifer means I am black. Don't look up at me. That's what I am by nature. Brother and sister, without the law, will not the knowledge of sin. For the law came that sin might appear exceeding sinful. And when I set out under it, it brought to the surface all that I really have. And all that men can see is but the fruit of a nature that I possess. I am black by nature. That I inherited, not responsible for, it takes me right back to my first parents in the garden of Eden. Then she goes a step further. She says, my mother's children were angry with me. They gave me the keeper of the vineyard. That body. Whether she wanted to or no, she had to do it. A mother's children, of course, distinct from a father's children. A father's children will always bring out character. A mother's children will always bring out nature. And here now she's making her second confession that she has a nature that is simple, but she's responding to the nature that she has. The good that a good idea. And the evil that I would not, that I do, all wretched man that I am, in bondage to a man. Then she goes a step further, and she says, this my own vineyard have I not possessed. And that which would be printed and ended and turned and tied, that he might bring forth fruit there was nothing but barrenness in her life. There was nothing for God at all. So here is the woman in herself. Here is the sinner in herself. Sinners by nature. In bondage to the nature that we have, and in consequence, there's nothing for God at all. So he held her from the tongue that has condemned her. He is blessed from the bondage that enslaved her, and he is hope for her own barrenness towards God. And so he is held outside of herself, held even out. There's one with this. Where thou callest thy flock to rest, there's one with them at noon, and there's one with shelter when the sun is in its meridian battle. The answer is that plea for him, and she says, I sat down, and she found her rest under the shadow, and she found her shelter, and his fruit was sweet to my taste, and she found the leaves for all her family. Now there's an appreciation of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And grace is come in his own, knowing that it is all the richness of God by the fruitful tree, the apple tree among the trees of the world. Calvary, brothers, has met the whole of mine as I stood before God. And as I looked, I could see that the banner over me is love. And love has provided a failure, and the failure has provided all the need. Now my brother and my sister, my younger brother and sister, she doesn't leave it there. And neither does he leave it there. There must be progress from the beginning of this relationship with the one that has stepped into her life and met her need. Now, this man that we love is not going to just call her to him on the ground of words that he says. He's searching for the evidence of love. And as soon as evidence is a thing, then he says, rise, my lovely, my fair one, and come away. Because it's not everyone that talks about life that has life. It's lunchtime, it seems, when there's a doubt whether he's a devil at all. When the child sneezed seven times, the child lived. There was evidences of life in the child. Had there been no evidences, then the prophet could have talked to the woman as long as he still be alive, but he wouldn't have convinced the woman that the child was alive. The evidences were there. And so he says, the flowers appear in the earth. That's the loveliness of life. Then the song of the birds is heard, and that is the joy of life. And the sound of the turtle dove is heard in the land, and that's the feast of life. My brother says, go down the list in chapter 2 maybe, and you'll discover there are 9 of them, and they'll agree with the 9 fruits of the Spirit there in the 5th chapter of the Epistle to the Galatians. And so here a fellowship is being exhausted to walk harmony in harmony, the one with the other, for her to be taken up with him, and for his heart to be taken up with her. My brother and sister, if that could only be made heaven, then you could say, heaven the world, but give me Jesus. And all things is great. In the life personal, or in the life of the assembly, would be completely redundant and out of order, and they find no place in the things that belong to the sovereignty and the Lordship of the Christ of God. Now my dear friends, we receive notice it, and I must correct, we receive notice it, that he thought the blessings that he gave would be sufficient to sustain. And I want to say, my older brother, as well as my younger brother, the blessings that God can give and no fancy to the letter. Bring me the letter, and I'll bring it to down in the wilderness as you find it in pastorate. Who is it that cometh up to the wilderness? Bring me the letter. Bring me the letter, and you can have all the letters without the letter. And so he says unto the day dawn, and the shadows still red. Be thou as the heart of a young girl, up on the mountains of Judea. The mountains of separation, or the mountains of believe. Leave me here. Not rise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Leave me with the things that I've been brought into. And you go, your brother.
Now, brethren and sisters, we never leave, but I am never forget. For there are occasions that come in your life and my life, and it feels as though he has done. When the heavens seem like that, and his lovely book, it gives nothing to you, and your heart just sinks with him, and your thunder busts the matter, as though he says, and she said, I sought him, and I found him not. I sought him on my death, I found him not. I went into the street, I found him not. Out into the field, I found him not. But you have told him to go to the mountains of Jesus and see. With my brethren, my sisters, I want to distress your own heart tonight. But if you're wrong, just hear your justification. Justification. Now you can sing that. I've enjoyed the thing. I've been here to sing. For brothers to say, what about your heart? Upon my bed, I thought, with the quietness that our own eyes and life. The place that knows the truth, that here is the secret of the heart, that no one intrudes the path, the door is shut, they belong to you, and they belong to your Lord. He looks into the privacy of our own life, and he wasn't there. Come, brother. Come, sister. If he's had his eyes belonging to his sin, then that's one of the first to grow on it. Then he goes there further, I went out into the street. And he did not put them out into the ground in the door. Because that's where the business is conducted. And in other words, she lives in her business life. And she lives for her beloved. In her business life. And he wasn't there. He wasn't there. My brother and my sister, I knew an old man who was a broker. And he said to the council at the end of the counter, and alongside the counter, he always had his party. And the rest came in one morning. And as he waited and proceeded, he just went to the end of the counter and started. And he said to my friend when he had opportunity to speak, he said, business is no place for a Bible, you know. And he put his hand on the account book. He said, when that book ceases to agree with that book, I shall be happy. Happy. And she looked into her business life and wasn't there. And then she went out into the field. No one had anything for her.
He could wander in wonder in the lanes and in the fields of her own leisure, and no one could say, you ought to be here or you ought to be there. She was a leisure man. And she lived in that. And he wasn't there. But man, she said a lot before. But when she said, he wasn't in her target life. And he wasn't in her business life. And he wasn't in her leisure life. And it was a little that I went from the peak of the village. And I found outside the law, outside the law, outside the tent, there is great people. And I found him. And I wouldn't let him go until I brought him to the place where my mother brought me home. And she made quite sure there was a living relationship with a man living in front of us. Listen, my dear young brother, my young sister, if you want to know something of the companionship from the fullness and the glory of the Christ of God in your private life, in your business life, and in your leisure life, I tell you this, he's outside the gate. He's outside the path. Whether it's politically, whether it's religiously, he's outside the path. And if you come to know him better every day, you'll go a little beyond the people of the gate. Do you notice? That's where he wanted her. Rise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And she could have gone in happy companionship and hearing more pleasing to his words outside the camp. But no, she didn't want it. The blessing came up. But she learned the lesson. That the best place is outside the camp. There is no substitute for a man that is one to affect it. Now, I can't go any further with the road thing. But do you know him? He's brought her out of the door. Out of the door. And she's taken up with it. Do you notice a little later on? She's ready to open the door and let him in. A guardian soul, the fountain spirit, is my husband, my sister. So that she and I, by discipline and by lessons, to learn the lessons to come out to him, and the lessons to allow to me, and to live the life with himself. Now notice the results of this, and he gives her the biggest for them all. My sister, my love, my dove, my son, dear. That means that the relationship with the Father, my sister, my love, that means that the relationship with the Father, my dove, that the relationship with the Spirit. My unbeholden means that no relationship to the world. That's a blessed thing. To know this unique heritage with the God heritage and to be satisfied in the place of willing obedience according to his word and according to his own authority is to bring you into a place that satisfies you. The heart in the sight of God, there is no reason but in his son, he had a heart. And now, these are the real things. These are basic things. And if these things could only be told in our experience day by day, a lot of our problems, spiritually, morally, and any other task would not be existed at all among the people born. Having an appreciation of what Christ has done inevitably must lead to an appreciation of his righteousness. Let me give an illustration. In the 24th chapter of Genesis, it was the vision of that nameless servant to bring the things of Christ, or the things of Isaac in history, of course. The things of Isaac may be better, but that was not his task. He was bringing the things of Isaac to Rebecca, that he might be able to bring Rebecca to Isaac. That's the task. Well, apply that to the sinner, if you like, brothers and sisters. But it delights the heart of the Spirit of God to bring the things of Christ to the soul and the heart of his people, that he might bring his people to the Christ of God in happy, affectionate relationship with himself. And so we come to this lovely description. The Eichmann soul says, there are various descriptions, and one in particular in chapter 5 is the description that starts at the head and it comes down to the feet. A lovely one. And then we get another one that begins with the feet and it goes up to the head. Now, brethren, this is, I believe, the difference is this. So when it says a description that begins with the head and comes down to the feet, it's a description from above. It's a divine description. And it's a description of the Lord Jesus. But when we come to the other, return, return, O Salamis, then it's a description that comes up from the head. And it's calculated to distract and to draw her back and bring her back again to the circumstances that she left so long ago for the fellowship of the one that loved her so much. And so she did answer, I am my beloved, and his desire is called me. Now let me just close with a brief description of the Lord Jesus as he came to appear. There are three glimpses running with that. Will you notice he begins with, my beloved is white. Now look where you will, and you won't find another white. But he's the only one. The first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord Jesus of heaven. Adam got his name because he was made of the red earth. Brother and sister, only in the likeness of sinful flesh. We just talk between ourselves, one or two of us, concerning the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. You know that's not the beginning of the matter. You know that? The beginning of the matter is not the sinlessness of Christ. The beginning of the matter is the holiness of Christ. For the holiness of Christ touches his nature, and the sinlessness of Christ is the fruit of the nature that he has. My dear brother and sister, the Lord Jesus cannot sin. You believe that now, don't you? But you must go that step further. The Lord Jesus is not because he could not sin. My beloved is white. But then he's ready. And here's the bloom of cultivation as he stands against the elements. And all that it would ever be is to bring out the bloom of perennial health into his heart. Take the world of flesh to the devil. David stood him time and time again, but he could say, the things of this world come have nothing in me. which of you can think of me as this? I do all those things which you have asked. There is the perfection of his mantle. Now notice the next glimpse, and he says his head is of fine gold. His hands are as rings of gold set with the bells, and his feet are as pockets of gold up in his dress, the silver of marble. So that we have the ivory, we have the marble, and it's white. For his head and his hands and his feet, they're gold. They're the only parts that are not covered from the heat to the sun. They're exposed, and the rest is covered by his garment. In other words, he says, he thunders. But brother and sister, we won't leave it there. When the sun looks upon her, it may have left. But when the sun looks upon him, it made him go. And the law that brought out my worthlessness is the law that brought out his worthlessness. And the law that condemned me is the law that commended him. And that is the price of our redemption. For he was born of a woman. That's the perfect man, made under the law, that he might redeem us that were hurt by the law. Not silver, a gold, and corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, brethren, I do beg of you, don't call it most precious food. Because the Bible says it calls it precious. If you say most precious, then you're admitting that there is other precious blood. But Christ is most precious. There is no other precious blood. Only the blood of Christ. Then he looks again, and he calls one. Ah, my world of the sin. Son of God, the office. The office seen him as he stood under the law, magnified it, making it honorable. But now here is the sight of revelation. Within the veil, within the garment, that covered him in the sight of men, he will see a whiteness that is translated righteousness. That brings us to the words of Thomas long ago. My Lord and my God. And when we get there, brothers and sisters, we won't be talking about fornication. We won't be speaking about the covenant. Neither will we be discussing the parallel our lives. Nor yet behaving contradictory and unfeeling in the assembly against the word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ will mean everything to the soul, and he walks in obedience.